be the last of my messages on Christ leading to Christmas. And this Sunday is also our last but one Sunday. So the last few weeks, we've looked at Christ as our bread of life, Christ as the light, Christ as our life. And today we end with Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is at the core of our Christian faith and life. And it's one of the earliest affirmations that were made about Jesus Christ. At the end of my teaching today, we will spend some little time praying. So let's start considering the first three mentions of Jesus as Lord in the New Testament. The first three mentions. The first one is in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 to 43. And it reads, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" The mother of my Lord. This is the first time that Jesus is addressed as Lord. And it happened by the declaration of Elizabeth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. At this time, Jesus had not been born, but he is still Lord even in the mother's womb. The first statement of Jesus as Lord. The second statement referring to Jesus as Lord in the New Testament was made by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, Elizabeth's husband, and he made a statement at the circumcision and naming ceremony of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And this is what Zacharias said, "And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Zacharias noted that his son John will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. In his adult life, John referred to this as his mission. And the person he was preparing the way for was Jesus Christ. So what Zacharias meant was that Jesus was Lord. This reference to Jesus as Lord also happened before he was born. The third mention of Jesus as Lord is by the angel who announced his birth to the shepherds in the fields. This statement happened after Jesus is born. The first two, before he is born. So he is Lord before he is born. He is Lord after he is born. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" So the angel called Jesus the Lord. Zacharias called him the Lord, and Elizabeth called him the Lord. In all the three instances where Jesus is called the Lord, the Greek lema, or the Greek root word that is used, is the same. They are not using different words. It's the same word, Lord. In Greek, it is kurios. And the word kurios in Greek is a very interesting word. 90% of the time in the New Testament, it is translated as Lord. A few other times, it is translated as master, owner, or sir. So that means that kurios is used both in a sacred sense, referring to God or Jesus, and sometimes it refers to somebody who is a master of his home, a master of a ship, or something like that. And Jesus is called Lord. So what is the meaning of Kurios? And I'll give you three meanings of the word Lord. First, it means the principal person. The principal person. It means the topmost person. The one who has the ultimate authority. The one at the highest level. He's above all in the sphere that he operates in. The Lord refers to the principal person. Or as we say in our current language, the boss. The person who is at the topmost. Secondly, Kurios or Lord means the legitimate owner. The legitimate owner. The person who is the true owner of something. The proper owner of something. Where there is no challenge to the person's ownership. That person is Lord. So the principal person, the legitimate owner, and the third definition of Lord is the one who has control. The one who has control. He says, go, and you go. He says, come, and you come, as the Roman centurion demonstrated to Jesus Christ. So when the passage says that Jesus is Lord, it means that he is the principal person, he is the legitimate owner, and he is the one who is in control. In the Old Testament, God is called Lord many times. When the Jews referred God to God as Lord, they were emphasizing their relationship with him. God means that he is the creator, but Lord means they have a relationship with him. He's their owner, he's their boss, and he's the one in control of their lives. So when we say that Jesus is Lord, we are establishing a personal relationship with him. In fact, if you study your Bible a bit closely, you'll find that when God revealed himself to Israel and gave them his proper name, they would not pronounce his name. And so they substituted his name with Lord, which in the Hebrew is Adonai. God is Lord. All right. So Jesus is referred to as Lord. He's the principal person, he's the legitimate owner, and he's the one in control. So I just want to talk about a couple of things about the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is that Jesus is Lord and God. He is Lord and God. That's a very important statement. He's not just a Lord, but he's God as well. How do we know that? John chapter 20, verse 28 to 29. This is Thomas after he had encountered the resurrected body of Christ. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. And that is why you said, my Lord and my God. Thomas referred to Jesus as both Lord and God. That simply means that Jesus is one with the Father. Now you have to understand that Thomas was a very critically minded Jew. He was an empiricist. He's somebody who is always looking for physical evidence to support what you have said. And he's the one who said, unless I see it physically, I will not believe it. Jesus said, Thomas, you should have believed before seeing. But Thomas also made us understand that the body of Christ that was resurrected was physical. And Thomas tells us that from the Bible, Jesus is one with the Father. And believing in Jesus is the same as believing in the Father. When I say I believe in Jesus Christ, it means I believe in God the Father. Believing in Jesus is the same as believing God the Father. Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Relating to Jesus is relating to God. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except to me, through me. I and the Father are one. He's one with the Father. Believing in him is the same as believing in the Father God. So that's the first thing I want to say. Jesus is Lord and God. The second thing I want to say is that Jesus' lordship doesn't end. He is Lord of all time. He is Lord of all time. Because lordship sometimes has an expiry date. But the lordship of Jesus Christ has no expiry date. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to John in the revelation that he gave to him. And this is what Jesus said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Who is, who was, and who is to come. The Lordship of Jesus Christ was, is, and will be coming. There is no time in human history that Jesus is not Lord. He is the Lord past, he is the Lord present, he is the Lord to come. He is the Lord over yesterday, he is the Lord over today, he is the Lord over tomorrow. He is the Lord over 2020, he was the Lord of 2029, and he will be the Lord of 2021. His lordship is not limited to any time space. There's no expiry date to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did yesterday, he will do today, and he will do tomorrow. His lordship never ends. So he's Jesus' Lord and God. His lordship never ends. The third important point I want to make is that Jesus is Lord in all domains. Now, these are very important. There are people who are lords, but they have expiry dates. There are CEOs of companies who are given a contract, and after the contract, maybe it is renewed, and that is the end. There are people who become presidents. They are given a contract. They are voted into power, and then they also get out of power. There are people who become heads of families. They are head of the family for a while, but then they pass away and they are no longer head of family. But Jesus Christ is Lord at all times. He never dies. He never gets voted out. And he never vacates his throne. He's Lord in the past. He's Lord in the present. He's Lord in the future. And he's Lord in all domains. Everywhere he's Lord. Everywhere he goes, he's Lord. It's like a leader who carries his power with him wherever he goes. You know, the president of Ghana is president of Ghana. He's not president of Togo. So when the president of Ghana goes to Togo, he's not Lord over Togo. If he goes to Nigeria, he's not Lord over Nigeria. If the president of Nigeria comes to Ghana, he is not described as a president of Ghana. He's still president of Nigeria. His lordship has geographical boundaries. Even the president of the United States is president only of the United States. If he steps out to Ghana, he's not president of Ghana. The Queen of England is the Queen of England. She's not Queen of Ghana. When she steps here, we admire her, but she's Queen of England. Because people's domains and lordships are limited. But there is a Lord whose lordship is in all domains. His domains never end. Philippians chapter 2. Oh, I love this. Verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the mention at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord over all domains, physical and spiritual. He is Lord over all other lords. That's why he's called Lord of Lords. There are lords in our world. There are lords spiritual and there are lords temporal or lords physical. But all the lords are under one Lord, and his name is Jesus. There are spiritual lords that rule territories in the heavens and over nations. Some rule over ethnicities and families and persons, but they all bow to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there are lords who are physical rulers over various nations and various domains on earth. Some are lords in the area of science, in the area of education, entertainment, law, military. But they all bow to the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord in heaven. He is Lord on earth. He is Lord in the domain of Satan. In other words, when Jesus enters Satan's domain, he carries his lordship with him. He doesn't leave his lordship outside. When Jesus comes into your life, he carries his lordship with him and he doesn't leave it outside. When Jesus comes to your family, the God of your family, the powers of your family bows to the name of Jesus, because he carries his lordship with him from domain to domain, from kingdom to kingdom. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun rises and sets. His kingdom rises and never sets. He's Lord in every domain. So don't come and tell me, oh, the forces in my family are powerful. Let the Lord come in. Because when he comes in, he brings his lordship into your family, into your kingdom, into your business, into your office, wherever he is, he's Lord. He's Lord in all domains. And he compels all to submit to him. Everybody submits to the name of Jesus. Every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. In this world, in the afterlife, in all languages, in all spheres, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over China. He's Lord over every country in this world. He's Lord over Russia. He's Lord over every country, no matter their religion, no matter their faith, no matter their belief, Jesus is Lord in every earthly territory. Even in places where they say, we don't want to hear his name, he's Lord there. Because you cannot restrict him from his rulership. He's not like the lords who have boundaries to their lordship. He is Lord who is boundaryless. He's boundaryless. He's boundaryless. Don't create boundaries for him, because he will not respect it. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, people wanted to limit him. Don't do this. He does it. Don't heal on the Sabbath. He heals it. Why are you doing it? I am Lord over the Sabbath. You cannot change the rules, but I can change the rules. You have traditions that limit you, but no tradition can limit me. I go where I please and I do what I please. Why? Because he's Lord in all domains. He's Lord in all domains. And the final thing, just to emphasize that, The final point I want to make is that Jesus is Lord over demonic powers. He's Lord over demonic powers. It is implied in the first, in the previous point I made, that he's Lord over all domains. But since you are Africans, I have to emphasize this one. Because Africans need this special emphasis. And that's why I am emphasizing it and making it the last point. Jesus is Lord over demonic powers. In whatever form they manifest, in whatever form they make themselves known, whether as witches or wizards or juju men or whatever form they come in, either they come in as ghosts of your ancestors or they come in as medicines that are not pharmaceutical. Because Africans, we have non-pharmaceutical medicines. We throw them. We throw medicines. So no matter what form the demonic manifestation is, Jesus is Lord over demonic powers. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Jesus sent his disciples to go out, 70 of them, and they returned. And this is their testimony. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Listen to their language. "Lord," you can imagine, "Lord, even," it means we didn't expect it. We didn't expect this one. Because these people were like Africans. They also believe in demons proper. They believe in demonic powers and manifestations and all kinds of things. People look at you and say, "I've seen things about you. I saw some two black things following you. I see on top of your head like three birds, black birds are hovering over your head." I don't care what the demon is. It may be a black cat. It may be a black bear. It may be a black bird. It may be a black snake. It may be a black lizard. It may be a white one. Whatever it is, Jesus has power over all demons. And the disciples said, "Lord, even we thought your name had power. We thought you could do things, but we didn't expect that demons were subject to your name." Jesus is Lord over demonic powers. His name allows believers to also dominate demons. I want you to watch what the disciples said. They didn't say, "Lord, even the demons are subject to you, Lord." That they knew that the demons are subject to Jesus. They've seen him. But they didn't think demons would be subject to them. They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." So the lordship of Jesus Christ confers lordship on the believer also. So that when we say, "In the name of Jesus," we exert the lordship of Christ over demons. And this year and the coming year, you will be able to say, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And may every demonic entity be subject to you. I said, may every demonic entity be subject to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And so, rise up with me in here. Those of you watching me, rise up. You say, "Pastor, I can pray whilst I'm sitting." I know you can pray whilst you are sitting, but rise up. Rising up is a sign that you're ready to do battle. You're ready. You have put yourself in a posture to win a battle. The first prayer point. Jesus is Lord over the past, the present, and the future. So you're going to ask him, thank him for 2020, and ask him to use every experience you have had in 2020 for his glory. And declare that nothing will work against you. So much has happened in this year, but they will not work against us. God is going to convert everything to his glory. So I want you to pray with me. Lift up your hand and say, Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is Lord over my past, present, and future. I ask you, use every experience I have had in 2020 for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I boldly declare that nothing in 2020 will work against me in the coming year, in Jesus' name. Now pray your own prayer. Pray, talk to the Lord. Nothing is going to work against you. God is going to use everything that has happened for his glory. He will convert the negative into positive. He will convert the disadvantage into advantage. He will convert the tears of pain into tears of joy. He will convert your sadness into laughter. He's turning everything for his glory. Lord, show your glory in our lives. Let our experiences manifest your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And everybody said, Amen. The disciples said, demons were subject to us in your name. So in the name of Jesus, you're going to bring every demonic activity against you under subjection. And declare that the enemy is falling. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. The enemy is falling. So I want you to pray with me. Lift up your hand and say, Heavenly Father, thank you that demons are subject to the name of Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus, I bring every demonic activity. I bring every demonic activity. I bring every demonic activity around me under subjection. I bring it under subjection. I boldly declare that Satan is falling. Satan is falling. Satan is falling. In Jesus' name, begin to pray your own prayer. Begin to pray. Satan is falling. He's falling. He's falling. And he will not win this battle against you. He will not triumph over you. He will not lord it over you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Third prayer point. Jesus is Lord over all domains. So you're going to ask him to dominate your life in 2021 with his presence and his power. And declare that every knee, in everything in your life that is a knee, will bow before the Lord. So lift up your hand and say, Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is Lord in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I ask you, dominate my life. Dominate my life. Dominate my life with your glory, with your presence, with your power. I boldly declare that every knee bows in Jesus' name. Begin to pray your own prayer. Every knee of sickness bows. Disease bows. Infirmity bows. Pain bows. All the symptoms bow in the name of Jesus. Every knee bows. 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 In Jesus' name we have prayed. The final prayer topic. Thomas asked to see a physical evidence of the Lord. And I want you to ask God to show you physical manifestations of his glory. Physical manifestations of his glory. And declare boldly that you will touch the glory of the Lord. So lift up your hand and say, Heavenly Father, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Let your glory be physically manifested in my life. I boldly declare that I will touch the glory of God. I will touch the glory of God. I will experience the glory of God. The glory will manifest in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just pray that the glory of God will manifest in your life, in your body, in your marriage, in your business, in your finances. There shall be manifestation of glory. As it was shown to Thomas, you will see a physical evidence of the glory and the beauty of God in Jesus' name. So, Lord Jesus, we proclaim you Lord in all domains of our life. And we declare that you rule, you rule, you rule, you rule, you dominate. You lord it over every circumstance in our lives, and everything bows to your authority. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some worship and some praise this morning. There is a release of God's glory. There is a release of favor. There is a turnaround of your situation. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.